إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. Once again, I welcome all of you. We continue tonight a reading شرح عقيدة السلف أصحاب الحديث. عقيدة السلف أصحاب الحديث, the creed of السلف, the people of hadith, of الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله, the explanation of our noble شيخ العلامة ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى. We're still going to continue reading to you the explanation of some of the attributes that quoted by Al-Imam al-Sabuni rahimahullah in this chapter, the stance of the Salaf, Ashab al-Hadith, regarding the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important for us to understand, to digest very well, because a lot of people, they went wrong and they were misguided in this bab, bab al-asma' or sifat, in this bab of as-sifat, the attributes of Allah. To save ourselves from that, we have to adhere to the understanding of as-salaf. We have to understand this text as they understood it. وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفٍ. The good, all good, is in following that which the Salaf they were upon. And we mentioned the Salaf, of course, we mean be the ulama, they say the Salaf or the Sahaba, رضوان الله عليهم. When we say we have to adhere to the way of the Salaf in Aqeedah, because now this is a matters of Aqeedah, of creed, the Salaf are the Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at-tabi'un and atba' at-tabi'un. So the safe way and the correct way to understand these texts that talk about the attributes of Allah, and there is no other way except to adhere to the way of the Salaf. And therefore this great alim, Al-Imam al-Sabuni rahimahullah, he's bringing his book Aqidatu al-Salaf, Ashab al-Hadith, the belief and the Aqidah of the Salaf, the correct Aqidah as related to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can adhere to it and we call to it and we protect it and we defend it, of course, with knowledge, with hikmah, with wisdom, and we call to it. We call ourselves, our family members. We start with our families first. Once we learn something, we call our families. Al-aqrabuna awla bil ma'roof. And of course, the Shaykh Al-Imam al-Sabuni, he didn't mention all of the attributes. He mentioned some of them. The reason the Shaykh Rabi'a mentioned that, the Shaykh himself, Al-Imam al-Sabuni, he mentioned in the beginning of his book that this is summarized, a work on Aqeedah. طيب. قال والفرح. We continue. والفرح, also from the attributes of Allah, is al-Farah, to be happy. Remember, Al-Imam al-Sabuni didn't bring Adillah because, once again, هذا مختصر. He didn't bring the Adillah because he mentioned it in brief, summarized. But Shaykh Rabi'a, in his explanation, he bring Adillah for each attribute and sifa, min sifatillah. Here the Shaykh, he brought, first he began by hadith. Hadith is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Anas radiyallahu anhu. قال الله أو قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لله أشد فرحا في فرحا from فرح فرح to be happy الفعل فرحة فرحة يفرح فرحة يفرح فرحا that's the verb فرحة 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 to be happy. Farah is joy and happiness. Here is one of the adilla. If somebody asks you, where you bring this? Allah is happy. Allah gets happy. How? Where you bring this from? How you talk about Allah like this? Tell them, it's not me that I'm talking about Allah. It's the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the one who said this about him. The Messenger of Allah, who does not speak out of his desires, he's the one who says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yafrah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that and affirmed this attribute for himself in his book Al-Quran. As from the Sunnah, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. Shift this. فَرَحًا. أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بتوبة عبده حين يتوب إليه من أحدكم كان على راحلته بأرض فلات. He says, indeed Allah gets very happy, actually more happy with the tawbah of his servants. Subhanallah. When one of us return to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness and repent from sins, and turn to Allah, and be obedient. Because remember, we're human beings, we wrong ourselves. كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. All of the children of Adam wrong themselves, but the best of them are those who repent afterwards. So, when one of us repent, say enough is enough, that's it. This path is no good for me. This sin, that's it. Inshallah, I'm not going to do it again. A'udhu billah, this is no good for me. This is absolutely something that I shouldn't be doing. Shouldn't be saying, shouldn't be eating, shouldn't be clicking, shouldn't be in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets happy, subhanallah. Happy with the tawbah. More happier than, and the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned an example, more than a person who was riding on his beast in a desert, in a vast land, nothing on this land. فَانْفَلَتَتْ مِنْ عَنْهُ وَعَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. But what happened to this man, that this riding beast, his animal he has, it took off, ran away from him. And it took with it his food and his drink. So this man now, he's in the middle of nowhere with nothing. No food, no drink. Remember, we're human beings. We cannot live without these two, food and drink. We can't live without food and water. We may make it for a couple of days, but we cannot live forever or for long without these two. So, فَأَيِّسَ مِنْهَا. This man looked everywhere, couldn't find it. I said, that animal didn't go back. He's gone. At that moment, he's gone. أَيِّس, he gave up. He gave up hopes. فأتى شجرة فاضطجع في ظلها قد أيس من راحلته. He came to this tree and he laid in the shade. He gave up all hopes from his animal. فبينما هو كذلك, Sheikh Ubaid, when he explained this hadith, he says, now I want you to really imagine the condition of this person. This person who is just laying down and at that moment giving up all hopes. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكَ إِذَا هُوَ بِهَا قَائِمَ عِنْدَهُ. Then Allah brought back his animal and he saw it right there standing by his head. فَأَخَذَ بِخِطَامِهَا. The first thing he did, he seized it and held it by the reins. Okay, he held it firm. ثُمَّ قَالَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ. And then he said, out of extreme joy, because he was so happy. So happy. He was so happy because that animal, not only he rides it, but also he has his food and drink on it. He was so happy to see it, and he made a mistake. قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكُ. He wants to thank Allah. And he says, oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. The ulama, he says, no doubt this is a statement of kufr and disbelief for someone to say to Allah, you are my servant. And he is the servant, now he become the Lord. That's a statement of kufr. But if this is this man kafir? No, he's not. The ulama, they said, no. Why? Because the Prophet said, akhta'a. And Allah tells us in the Quran, Allah taught us a dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not hold us accountable when we forget or when we wrong ourselves, when we make mistakes. قَالَ أَخْطَأَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ. This man, he made this mistake out of extreme joy. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has beautiful explanation on this hadith as well. And this hadith is a qa'idah that could be used in many things. That if a person is in extreme joy and said something and they didn't mean it, they're not held accountable at that moment. The ulama, they mentioned also if someone is in extremely angry as well. They're so angry they don't even know what they're talking about. So this applies in other fields in the deen. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله فالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وصف ربه بالفرح. See here in this hadith, sound hadith, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم affirmed the farah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gets happy. يَفْرَحُ بِتَوْبَةِ التَّائِبِينَ. What makes Allah happy? The repentance of His servants. And this is a great ni'mah, ya akhwan. Allah is happy when we make tawbah, when we repent. But of course, the tawbah that will benefit us is the sincere tawbah, a tawbah nasuh. The sincere tawbah with its known conditions. And we just briefly mention them again. Number one, al-iqla'u an al-dhan. If a person's repentance to be sincere, and a person is sincere when they say, oh Allah, I repent to you from this sin, then he has to give up that sin. There is no repentance while the person is still carrying on doing that haram. You have to give it up, stop. And number two, al-nadam. The person should feel and should regret actually doing this action. Reprimand himself. I'm a Muslim, I can't be doing this. A'udhu billah. This is not good for me. This is not pleasing to my Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim. Regret, not enjoying it. Because if a person enjoying it, And say, oh, astaghfirullah, tawbu. No. Has to regret doing that action. And number three, al-azmu ala adami al-awda. Person has to be determined at that moment not to go back to do it. Because it's despicable, there is no good in it. Even the nafs called the person to do it, the shaitan beautify it. But a rotten cake will stay a rotten cake, even if you put the best icing on it. It's not going to change its reality. Okay, you put the best icing on the rotten cake, it's not going to change nothing from its reality. So the shaitan beautify the sins for Bani Adam. That's why people fall into sins. That's why we fall into those sins. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ Except from those that Allah has mercy on them and protect them. And may Allah grant us His protection, ameen, against ourselves. That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to say, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَسَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا The Prophet ﷺ used to always say, and we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil within our own selves. And the wickedness of our deeds. Our deeds, not someone else's deeds. And we constantly should seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these things. And constantly ask Allah for forgiveness and turn to Allah with repentance. The Prophet ﷺ, the best of mankind, and he turned to Allah with repentance and asked forgiveness in a day 100 times. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. To teach us the importance of repentance and the importance of forgiveness and asking Allah for forgiveness. Because there is a lot of things we do we don't even pay attention to, that they are sins. Sometimes you come to a person and tell me, repent. So I ain't kill nobody. Yeah, somehow, that's it. That's the only sin in his mind. Kill somebody. Well, there is a lot of sins we do we don't pay attention to. The sin is not just falling into haram. Remember, the ulama they mentioned is also neglecting an obligation. It's not just falling into a prohibition. Neglecting. And you think we perfect, we do everything the right way? No. So that's why repentance comes. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, to mention the importance of forgiveness, because certain people, they say astaghfirullah only when they did something very wrong, very bad. No. He says, look, when you pray the salat, is it a bad thing? Is the salat bad thing or one of the best actions of worship? One of the best actions of worship. So what the Prophet ﷺ command us to say right after we finish the salat? Astaghfirullah. Allahu Akbar. So it's very important for us, ikhwan, to remember this. Constantly say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Now. Salam. And the Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhahu Ta'ala, he mentioned an ayah after the hadith. He mentioned the ayah 222. So it's easy to remember this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of it, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Because the ayah began by saying, Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ In the end of the ayah 222 in Surah 2, see, it's easy. Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, Ayah 222. In the end of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly Allah loves those who turn unto Him in repentance. Allah loves those who purify themselves. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله تعالى وهذا فيه تشجيع على التوبة فالإنسان إذا وقع في الذنوب عليه أن يتوب إلى الله عز وجل ويحسن الظن بالله وأن الله يقبل التوابين مهما أذنبوا. He says now, subhanAllah, in these two texts, there is other than them. This is encouragement for us to be serious about tawbah, about repentance. To be serious, to apply it in our lives. When we say something wrong, we do something wrong, we find ourselves negligent in any of our commands, obligations, we wrong somebody, we did something bad. First, repent, astaghfirullah. Don't go arrogant. Some people, they are reminded, and it's like, look, man, it's not a big deal. This doesn't deserve tawbah. I ain't do nothing wrong. I ain't nothing. Can't be like that. If you're reminded by someone, say astaghfirullah, tubu ilayh, jazakallah khair, na'am, barakallahu fik, ma'ak haq ya akhi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. See? But this tawfiq is only from Allah. And that's the importance of reading and being actually in the classes in which we, alhamdulillah, we read and we all learning from the work of the ulama. The Shaykh, he says, this ayah and the hadith encourage us to be serious about tawbah. He says, when a person falls into sins, he has to repent to Allah. And he has to have good thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good thought about your Lord. And that Allah subhanahu, you should know this reality, that Allah accept the repentance of those who wrong themselves. Doesn't matter how much they wrong themselves, subhanAllah. Doesn't matter. لو كفر وقتل وزنى ثم تاب توبة النصوحة. The Shaykh said, even if a person disbelieved, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, is upon kufr, killed somebody, committed adultery, fornication, but if they repent to Allah after this despicable act, if they turn to Allah with repentance, with sincere repentance, Allah forgive them. Allah accept their repentance. SubhanAllah. There is not a sin that Allah cannot forgive. Not a sin. Shirk. The greatest of all sins. If somebody is upon shirk, calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then at one moment Allah opened their hearts for tawbah, and that person said, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. La ilaha illallah. There is no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And they give up shirk, Allah forgive them. Even if they were upon shirk for years. Walhamdulillah.
If one sins against the creation, how do we go about in rectifying it?
Ahsant. There is a fourth condition that the ulama, they mention, is that if a person now wrong others, if a person wrong others, whether in their honor, their blood, their property, plus these conditions, he has to make it up for them. Or they forgive him. One of these two. Whether they forgive him and they say, look, we forgive you, don't worry about it anymore. Or they give them back their rights. And we give an example. Somebody borrows some money, for example, for somebody. And then he said to that person, I never seen you, man. No. The other person made a mistake, didn't write it down. Didn't write it. So he's like, you have no proof? You didn't give me anything. Okay? But years go by. Allah opened his heart to the tawbah. Maybe he was in a khutbah somewhere, in a class. He read something. Somebody wronged him to himself. Maybe he went through with himself. And he filled it now. He's like, oh, you know, I gave you the money. You ain't give me no money. Nothing. I never seen you, man. You ain't give me no money. Okay, I gave it to you. He's like, you have a proof? That was my mistake. I shouldn't write it. But Allah knows. He said, okay, mashallah, but I didn't give you, you didn't give me anything. And who knows, maybe in the midst of him getting angry and mad, maybe he went and said, subhanAllah. No, he came to the masjid to see the brother, his brother. And he's like, subhanAllah, maybe he went through the same thing a couple years ago when I deny him his right. You see? And he's like, subhanAllah, astaghfirullah, tawbah. Then he may come to the imam of the masjid, he may ask somebody, how can I do this? Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, yes, you have to give the people back their belongings. He will go to the person and say, akhi, astaghfirullah, atubu ilayh, this is what it is, actually I don't have all of it, please take this now and forgive me, I give you the rest later on in the next paycheck, and we should be happy and help the people. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, it will be even a kind act to even accept some and let them go with the other, to encourage them upon tawbah, if you can, of course. Tell them, you know what, just give me this, the rest is okay. Jazakallah khair, barakallah fi. I'm just happy, ya akhi, that you know that what you've done is wrong. Now, alhamdulillah, don't do it again. Jazakallah, you know what, keep it. It's okay, this is enough, you don't have to give me no more. This is Islam. But there is other details and tafsir. If, for example, somebody took something from somebody and that person didn't know about it, now how he going to give it back? Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, if you know that by giving it to him in person, go to him, look, this is, I took this from you and he's going to get you in trouble, don't. Just bring it back to him, give it back to him in a way that he don't know that you're the one that took it before. Okay? To escape the fitna and the harm that may cause you. Okay? That may cause you. Because some people, not all the people, they're going to say, oh, so you're the one that did it? Alhamdulillah, I'm just happy that you bring it. Jazakallah khair. Now, oh, you did it? Okay. They're going to take him to the court, get in jail, and maybe he's going to lose his job. The Shaykh, he says, if you think that these people may get you in trouble, if you go and tell them, listen, this is, I'm the one who did this and this, don't. They shouldn't know. Just make sure that they get their rights back. Also, these details. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, what about if somebody took some money, borrowed money, after years he regret? Alhamdulillah, Allah guide him to the tawbah. Now he's like, look, I gotta give that $1,000 to the brother. He couldn't find him. Looking, he's like, okay, he's dead. He's dead. So what he do now? Hell, he's dead. So, alhamdulillah, bismillah. Put in his pocket. What he do, Abdullah?
Give it in sadaqah.
Before the sadaqah.
Oh, give it to his family?
Ahsan, give it to his family, the waratha, the heirs, the inheritors. That's because that's belong to them. Sadaqah is Abdullah when he couldn't find the person. He looked, the man is gone. Then he will give it in sadaqah on his behalf. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned something. He says, what if he did that and after a couple of years the man came back? So do you remember me? Yeah, I remember you, but where you came from? Because the man is like, yeah, I remember my $1,000. Okay, I gave it in sadaqah. He's like, look, I didn't tell you to give it in sadaqah. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, look, in this case, whether the man says, oh, you give it in sadaqah? MashaAllah. La ba'z, jazakallah khair. Or if the man said to him, no, ya akhi, give it sadaqah, but I need it. He give it to him. Okay? Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. And still in that, we have to keep in mind that when the people do something good, we encourage them in doing good. And if that person really don't need his money, he's like, you give it a sadaqah, jazakallah khair, hayyakallah, don't worry about it, mashallah, may Allah reward you. Okay? Or if he needs his money, it's like, you know what, akhi, since you give it in sadaqah, just give me half now. I don't want to put a hardship on you. Just give me a half of it or something like that, okay? Alhamdulillah. And there is other, okay, Muhammad, there is other conditions that the tawbah has to be before death come upon a person. Not when an angel of death come upon a person, because they see, Sheikh Ubaid says that the people, they see the angel of death when he comes to take their souls. Now at that moment he says, I repent, call this brother, tell him to come take his this. Tawbah doesn't help that person at that moment. And also, the tawbah has to be before, also before the sun rises from the west. If the sun rises from the west, no tawbah. There will no tawbah. Of course, the ulama, and from them Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, they mention details in this, in the ayat, in the hadith. Now, so Shaykh Rabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, even if a person commit this despicable act, kufr, murder, zina, but this person repents with sincere repentance, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the repentance. But as for what the rulings and the consequences they have to face in this dunya, that's different. Allah forgive that person if he's sincere. But maybe the people don't want to forgive him for the blood money. He killed somebody based on who that person is. Because the rulings change. Killed a Muslim, non-Muslim, non-Muslims who's mu'ahad. There is some commitments and between him, his country, and the Muslim country, and many, there is details into that. Okay? But Allah forgive that person if that person is have a sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. And the Shaykh Arabi, he mentioned the ayah 53 of Surah Az-Zumar. قال الله تعالى قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Say, O عبادي, my slaves, my servants, who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds and sins, despair not of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Truly He is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is a great ayah, subhanAllah. And if you read the tafsir on it, it's amazing. That shows the vastness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asrafu, not just Allah, is not just addressing those who commit a sin once a while. No, this commits sin constantly. Allah is still telling them, do not despair. Because shaitan will come to them, tell them, you're done, man. After all this, you got nothing. Some shayateen from the human being do that too. Some they see somebody really an alcoholic, I don't know, doing a lot of evil. And he will come and say, look, man, I want to go back to the masjid. I feel like I what I'm doing is wrong. Tell them, man, now you want to go to the masjid after this year? You got no place, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. A'udhu billah. These are juhal. These are ignorant. Now, they should encourage the person. They say, Akhi, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm just going to read to you one ayah. And you should memorize this ayah. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Doesn't matter what you've done. And please, don't even share with me anything of it. I don't want to hear that. But me and you, we should hear this ayah. Allah says, oh my slaves who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds and sins, what Allah says, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins with one thing. What is it? Just be sincere. Just say, look, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. This life is no good for me. I have to be a good servant of Allah, and Allah forgive you. Now,
the proof that the Sheikh brought, some sort of Baqarah,
He used that for a proof for the Fariha?
Naam, inna allaha yuhibbu.
Yeah.
Allah loves.
Okay.
And naam, min al-hub.
You mentioned the hub earlier.
Hmm.
Now, and I was just thinking.
It was mentioned earlier?
Well, no, you mentioned the attribute of hib, of hub, to love earlier.
Where? From the sifat?
Yeah, from the sifat.
In the beginning, right?
In the beginning, yeah.
No, it was not mentioned.
And he said an ayah too, and he used, he said the ayah.
Huh? I'm reading with you right now. If you have the text, there is no. We don't talk about hub. We talk about al hayat.
Yeah, I might have it right here.
Wouldn't you see?
I didn't have hayat. I had hub instead of hayat. But right here.
That's what you have.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have that. I have al hayat. In here, hold on, al-hayat, not al-hub. So this print here, I don't know, maybe which one is right, Allahu alam. But the one that the Shaykh have is al-hayat. We have al-hayat, and that's what the Shaykh he explained. So you can correct it, inshallah. Since the class we're reading from this of the Shaykh is that even in the English there is hayat, life, no hub, there is hayat. Okay? Maybe that's a misprint or something, Allah. Hey! That's good. Those who have any books with you, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen used to do that. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to always remind his students. Because people, they will read it from the same book, but different editions. And of course, sometimes the mistake is human. Alright? Sometimes they may forget one dot. One dot because of the print, that dot is not there. I give you an example. Al-Habba. Al-Habba al-Sawda. And the ulama, they mentioned this as an example. Al-Habba al-Sawda, the black seed. Da'u li-kulli da' illa al-mawt. Is a cure for all diseases except death. They said this ignorant person, he has his book, and for whatever reason, there was another dot next to the ba', whether they don't know how it happened. Maybe a fly came and the feces or whatever. So now it the bat become what?
Yeah.
If you add a dot to the bat, what becomes what?
Yeah.
So the habba becomes what? Al hayya sawda. What is al hayya? La la. Al hayya, not al hayat.
Snake.
The black snake is a cure for all disease, and he began to give the people the black snakes. Take this black snake to you in your house. People are dead. They said because he's ignorant. He should, if he knew this hadith, he was like, wait a minute. Black snake? No. Black seed. And then he was like, at least say, hey, anybody has another book? What he says? Al-Habba. Oh, this is a mistake. So that's what we do, alhamdulillah. We go with the book of Shaykh. It says Al-Hayat, not Al-Hub. Tayyib? John. Qala Shaykh Rabi, hafidhahullah. Fa'ala al-mu'min idha waqa'a fi dhanbin صغير أو كبير أن يتوب إلى الله لأن الله يفرح بتوبة عبده ويحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين سبحانه وتعالى لرحمته وحلمه تبارك وتعالى. So therefore, a great advice from the Shaykh Rabi حفظه الله says it is incumbent upon the believer when that believer fall into a sin. Just being a believer thing, you don't commit no sin. He said it is incumbent the believer when he or she commit a sin, minor or major sin. What is incumbent upon the believer to turn to Allah with repentance. Because Allah and that believer should keep in mind that Allah gets very happy with the repentance of His servants. SubhanAllah. Allah makes Him happy when the servant turn to Him with repentance. And Allah loves those who turn to Him with repentance and purify themselves. He says, and this is due because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forbearance. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم قال والضحك, another attribute, الضحك. فكذلك جاء في الأحاديث الصحيحة أن الله تبارك وتعالى يضحك يوم القيامة لعبده. He says, likewise, it occurs in the sound narrations, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs on the day of judgment with His servant. And he mentioned the hadith. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith that the Shaykh Rabi' brought as a proof to this attribute of dahik. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ويضحك الله إلى رجل قتل رجلا آخر ثم دخل الجنة. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. Hadith number 2826 in Bukhari, Kitab al-Jihad wa Siyar, 2826. And in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 1890 in Sahih Muslim. What is hadith? The translation, roughly, I give you that so you can go back to the translation. Allah laughs at a man. When you say laughs at, it's not like in a... Allah laughs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smile or laughs. Because that's not a good translation. I take that back. Because usually in our terms, laughs at, meaning bad way, right? At a mockery, no. Allah laughs, or smile. Allah laughs here. The dahik is to laugh, okay? Allah laughs, how? Because of this man, who killed another man, and both enter al-Jannah, subhanAllah. But both, this man killed a man, but both enter al-Jannah. شيخ ربيع حفظه تعالى explain. قال التقى مسلم وكافر فقتل الكافر المسلم فمات المسلم شهيدا. Who are these two men? He says, in the dunya, a Muslim and a disbeliever, they met in a battlefield. The disbeliever killed the Muslim. And the Muslim entered the Jannah as a martyr, as a shaheed. We understand that. That's clear to us. So what happened to this believer who killed the Muslim?
He took
shahada. ثُمَّ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى هَذَا الْكَافِرِ الْقَاتِلِ فَأَسْلَمَ فَدْخَى الْجَنَّةِ. But then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided that disbeliever, the murderer, who killed the Muslim, but Allah guided him to Islam. And he enters to Islam, alhamdulillah, and he enters the Jannah. الحمد لله. Now, before we continue, I just want to have a request. I request from all of you, barakallahu fikum, those who are here, or those who may listen this on to this on my blog, followthesalaf.com. Please, if you hear me making a mistake in a translation or said something that I shouldn't say, please let me know, barakallahu fikum. Let me know, Jazakumullah khair. I'm only a human being. I have deficiencies, barakallahu feekum. And I will be very happy to accept those comments, inshallah ta'ala. Any corrections, while you're listening, while you're hearing, inshallah, if you see that I made a mistake, please let me know. Let me know, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to say and to do that which is pleasing to Allah. subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from bab al-ta'awun. This is from the bab of birr. Ta'awun al-birr wa taqwa. This is from the bab of helping one another upon good. And may Allah make us modest and humble, so that we can accept the haqq whenever it comes to us from anybody else. And may Allah protect us from being arrogant. InshaAllah ta'ala. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله والمؤلف رحمه الله لم يسق الأدلة لأنه اشترط على نفسه الاختصار والاقتصار كما قال. He says, after bringing the adillah, some of the adillah for these attributes, Shaykh Rabi' Hawtala, he says, as for al-mu'allif, al-imam al-sabuni, rahimahullah, when he mentioned these attributes, he didn't mention proofs to them, because he made a condition upon himself in this work, in this book, that he became a samurai and brief. وقد ألف في هذا في إثبات الصفات والأدلة عليها كتابا سماه الانتصار. And as for details, you will find it in another book of Imam al-Sabuni, in affirming the attributes of Allah. And he brought the adilla there in that book that is called al-intisar. Al-intisar. As for this one, لا قال وهنا سلك مسلك الاختصار فلم يسوق الأدلة وأنتم تعرفون هذا والحمد لله والقرآن مليء بهذا. He says, as for in this book, since he made a condition for himself that he, this is a very summarized work on the Aqidah, he just mentioned what he mentioned without bringing proofs. The Shaykh says, Quran, and the Quran, there is so many texts and ayats in the Quran that contains the attributes and affirms the attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وغيرها من الصفات. Al-Imam al-Sabuni, when he quoted these attributes, he says, and other than them, from the sifat التي وصف الله بها نفسه في كتابه أو في أو موجودة في سنة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, and other than these ones that he has mentioned, because he didn't mention all of them, from the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for himself and described himself with in his book or in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh mentioned مثل الاستواء. See, Imam al-Sabuni, he didn't mention istiwa. Al-istiwa. والنزول. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest level, the lowest heaven, every night. هذا نزول. والمجيء. وغير ذلك من الصفات التي ذكرها الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه ووصفه بها رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته. Amongst many other ayats that Allah subhanahu, many other sifats actually, many other attributes that Allah has mentioned in his book, or they were affirmed to him by his messenger, our beloved messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in his sunnah. القاعدة فيها أنهم يعني الضمير يعود على السلف أصحاب الحديث. القاعدة فيها أنهم يؤمنون بجميع ذلك, يؤمنون بجميع ما ورد في الكتاب وثبت في السنة على الوجه اللائق بالله سبحانه وتعالى. But the principle here that we should always remember, and the Shaykh he repeated it many times so it can stick in our minds, so we be firm, okay, let's nobody shake you and you start falling like a table. If a table, the screws are firm, you can shake that table, you can throw it, it's still there. But if those screws, they loose, very loose, you shake it, they're all on the ground. Some people, they're not firm in this aqidah, and they're not firm, they heard it, and they go somewhere else and tell them, oh, that attributes, well, come here, and they give him another version. And that's how, before you know it, now he's Ash'ari, he's Mu'tazili, and he used to be with the people of Sunnah, but he was not firm, he didn't sit down and learn and review. You see the Shaykh, Hafidahullah, this is a ni'mah from Allah that he focused on this qa'idah. The qa'idah that the Salaf, our Salaf, They believe in all of the attributes of Allah, but with a condition. Those attributes that are found in the book of Allah, and they are found in the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They affirm all of them, every single one of them, for Allah, but in a way that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? مِنْ غَيْرِ تَشْبِيهٍ لِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِصِفَاتِ الْمَرْبُوبِينَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. They affirm that to Allah without likening any of those attributes to those of the creation. They don't say, okay, because some of them say, Allah have hands, but it looks like the hands of the creation. عِيَدُ بِاللَّهِ. Now without likening nor resembling any of those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those of His creation, بَلْ يَنْتَهُونَ فِيهَا إِلَى مَا قَالَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَالَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ غَيْرِ زِيَادَةٍ عَلَيْهِ. But rather, they stop where with the texts. Allah affirmed for Himself an attribute, they affirm it without adding anything to it. They don't put their intellects and begin to interpret and explain the ayats. This is the way of the Ahlul Bid'ah, the way of the people of innovation. Rather, they stop where with the texts, whether that which Allah said or that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. وَلَا إِضَافَ إِلَيْهِ. They do not add anything to those texts, to those attributes. وَلَا تَكِيفَ لَهُ. They don't say how. They don't believe in the eyes and then say how. They don't. As Salaf, they believe. They don't say how. ولا تشبيه. وهذا رد على المشبه الذين يرد عليهم بمثل هذه الآيات. And if there is mushabbiha who they says yes, the eye look like this, or they start talking about the attributes of Allah, you don't argue with them and stay there all day argue. No, just tell them, look, why are you talking about these attributes? And Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. You're saying, oh, the attributes like this, like that, like this. But what Allah says about these attributes? Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that resembles Him. So why you say, oh, it resembles this, resembles that? That's it, that's decisive. So those amongst them who they were just wrong, because for sometimes you find the people, just because they grow up in an environment, they didn't know something else. They were like, subhanAllah, you're right. This ayah is clear. Jazakallah khairan, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. But the people of bid'ah, they will not accept it, wal'iyadu billah. As Imam al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, if a person is upon error, but they want good, they just don't know what is good, one dalil is enough for that person. Because that person, he really wants good, but he don't know what he's doing is wrong. He thinks what he's doing is right. You bring them one dalil. If you tell them this is wrong, why, akhi? Allah says, the Messenger of Allah said, they say, Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu feek. But Ahlul Ahwa, wa Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of desires who they know that they support in their innovations and their desires, the Shaykh said, you bring them 1,000 dalil, they're going to find a way to reject it. They're going to find a way to reject it. Whether they tell you, if you bring them a hadith that is not in Bukhari and Muslim, where is the hadith? In Tirmidhi. How we know? It may not be sahih. We'll find out. You find out. I don't have time for that. Okay? When you find out the hadith, then come and talk to me. You don't even know the hadith is sahih or not. They turn the table against you. Now you bring them a hadith sahih. They're like, where is it? It's in Abu Dawood. Who? Sahih. Albani. Albani is not our sheikh. It's your sheikh. You take from him, I don't take from him. Okay? Bring one of our mashayikh who's... Tricks! Because Allah didn't want no good for them. Now it's worse. You bring them an ayah. Of course, they're not going to tell you it's the ayah sahiha. They're not going to say that. They said, oh, we know the ayah. No problem. We give you three... Do you know the three other ayahs too that talks about that? You don't know. They bring you three other ayahs maybe. And you were like, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. He said, no, not like that. I'm still in my position. Well, how comes? No, you're not only one ayah. Me, one ayah was enough. You got four now. He says, no, but you have to understand them. What do you mean understand them? Look, it's clear. Clear? Now, come on, man. No, our understanding is not your understanding. This how, because Allah didn't want no good for them. And when you see people like that, you just thank Allah first for guidance. Whenever you see people upon innovation, bid'ah, and especially in our times, there's a lot of chaos going on. And then the first thing should come to your mind, Ihmadillah, thank Allah for guidance. That's the first thing. Say, Alhamdulillah, that saved me from that path. Okay? That Allah saved me from those innovations. Sometimes it's shirk, ya akhi, kufr. And the second thing, what can you do to help this person? Then you ask yourself, am I really the right person to talk to him? If you are, alhamdulillah, talk to him. If not, don't talk to that person. Stay away from the innovators. Ahlul Bid'ah, we are commanded to stay away from Ahlul Bid'ah. We don't talk about them. Who talked about them? Who talked to them? No, it's not talk about them, to talk to them or to debate with them. Because them, they're going to debate you. They're not just going to easy. They're going to tell you, what about this? What about this ayah? What about this hadith? They take you around. But if you're not from the people of knowledge or good students of knowledge who they know what they don't, leave it alone. Do not sit with the people of innovations. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. But if you know somebody who's just a layman person, common folk, and he just go and he's affected by them, bring him to your masjid, alhamdulillah. If you go to the masjid of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, invite him, because usually that layman, he just go, he thinks all the masajid are the same. You know, they said, look, akhi, this is all masajid of Allah. I go here, go there, go there, go there. Tell him, okay, since this is the case, well, come with us. If he's a layman, he's like, oh yeah, what masjid? Oh, masjid, huh? Oh, let's go. But if he really have some dough with him, he's like, oh no, I don't go to that masjid. Akhi, you just said the masajid of Allah, they are the masajid of Allah. Why you don't want, what do I want? Oh no, those guys, I don't know, they said they were Wahhabis. Now you know stuff. Now, a layman person, he's going to say, okay, Bismillah, I go with you anywhere you want, any masjid. Alhamdulillah. And you may, before you bring him, you call the imam of the masjid. Assalamu alaikum, akhi, send him a text. Look, one brother is coming here, he goes to this masjid, this, that. Some innovations, please, if you can just address it in your talk, in your class. You see, like that. And if Allah wants good for him, he's going to tell the Muslim, how often you come to this masjid? Every day. Bring me with you, see? Because some people, they really want good, they just don't know where to get it from. You know? They just don't know where to get it from. And even in our life, our daily life, some people, they really want to get some nice, fresh tomatoes. But they keep getting this bad quality because that's all in that area. They never know there is another store the other side where there is a fresh tomatoes. So you don't think they don't like fresh tomatoes. You just ask them, why you don't get fresher tomatoes? I don't know where to get them. I'll take you, come on. Likewise, some people, they just believe in certain things because that's all they were exposed to. That's it, bottom line. So you tell them, get them exposed to something else, inshallah. And if Allah wants good for them and they have a good intentions and their heart is clean, they will accept it, inshallah ta'ala. So he said, this is one of the ayahs. The other ayah is the surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is no example, no one equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, so when those people who talk, they speak bad about the attributes of Allah, we bring them this adilla. Tell them, look at this adilla, here, inshaAllah ta'ala. Look at the ayah of Allah, laysa kamithlihi shay'. And inshaAllah, if Allah was good for them, and they were sincere, they really want the haqq, they just didn't know what it is, inshaAllah, they will accept it, inshaAllah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.